Well, the question to be asked is, new food labelling laws, are they protecting consumers? The current food labelling laws came under fire following the hepatitis A outbreak back in 2015. That was from frozen berries that were grown in China and Chile. But joining me right now is Hidden Growth Opportunities, the author of that particular book, and he's an operational excellence specialist in food. And he joins us right now, Ishan Galapathy. Hello. Hello, Ishan. How are you?
I'm very well, Jenny. Good to be talking to you again.
Yes, it is. Very well, thank you. Food, of course, is something that we can't ignore. We have to have it on a daily basis, and we do put our trust, I guess, into people that put our food together if we buy it off the shelves in supermarkets. Now, the frozen berry situation was back in 2015. I remember that clearly. Where are we going wrong?
Look, I think the laws we had back at the time were probably not as stringent as what it needed to be. And clearly, the outbreak at the time highlighted that. Of course, the main issue that we are talking about is the cleanliness and the systems that each country has got when they manufacture food. So I think that's the main reason. So sometimes we get foods from these different countries, and do they have the quality standards that we expect here in Australia?
It's interesting because not everybody reads labels. I mean, a lot more these days than ever before, that's for certain. But if it says it just comes from another country, how are we to know how it was processed, how it was grown, how is it packaged in a healthy way? We're not to know that.
Exactly right. And, you know, sometimes we think that, you know, it comes from Europe and it's great. Or we think it's, you know, we look at costs for a lot of our products, and we spoke about the private labels last time. So we're driven by these other factors to make the choice, but we don't necessarily know what the quality standards are. And that's what we're compromising.
Well, how then can we as a consumer know that the quality standards are tested or checked? Or is there anything at all in place for that to happen?
So I think this is where the new laws, which have come into effect from 1st of July this year, are definitely a step in the right direction. So consumers may not get to see this straight away because whatever was manufactured prior to 1st of July, the manufacturers still had an opportunity to get it out onto the shelf. So over the last 2 years, there's been a transition towards this new system, if you like, and it's making it clearer for the consumers to basically make sure that they know where the product was made and where the ingredients came from.
The thing is, though, that we have to make the judgment, if we're just given that sort of information, that particular country in our own mind could be either not appealing to us, or we could have a, you know, make it up. Oh, no, I wouldn't buy something from that country. And it may be okay. On the other hand, it may not be. It really needs to be more quality control, doesn't it?
Correct. And the first step the Australian authorities have taken, I guess, is to in twofold, answer the two questions that consumers had. And the two questions are, where is the product made and where do the ingredients come from? And I think clearly the first step that they have taken and put into practice since the first of July clearly answers the first question. So there are new labels that are coming into place that clearly identifies whether the product is grown in Australia, whether the product is manufactured in, you know, what percentage of ingredients are from Australia, et cetera, et cetera. But we're still not answering the question.
No.
If it comes from overseas.
No, we're not.
Where is it coming from?
That's exactly right. I mean, I don't really mind where it comes from. I'd prefer to buy Australian-made product because I know there's a stringent testing on everything that's here. But what we're doing is we're assuming, because it's from another part of the world that we may feel a bit dubious about, we just stop buying their product. So it just doesn't seem fair that it's not more quality controlled.
Correct. And I guess this is where the so it's a little bit difficult because it's the different regulations and it's the different quality standards. It is something that's hard to regulate, particularly from an import point of view. If it's a total imported product, like the berries back in 2015, and of course the frozen vegetables last week, which clearly highlighted even the second week after the new labels coming in place, saying that we're still vulnerable.
I don't know where this is going to head because, I mean, people are losing their lives. It is a very serious situation. Thankfully, it doesn't happen a lot, you know, so we shouldn't assume that that is the case. But every imported product is going to be dangerous for us to take off the shelf. But it just doesn't seem to be going far enough. I can just see people assuming now that anything coming from certain parts of the world, Asia or wherever, I just won't buy it anymore if that's the case.
Exactly. And I think one of the things that we can, we can clearly, tell your listeners, Jenny, is that if the product is if it's got that Australian kangaroo, and to qualify to get the Australian kangaroo on a food product has to mean one or two things. If it's a vegetable or a fruit, then it must be grown in Australia to have the kangaroo. So if it's grown in Australia, then you've got full confidence that it is coming from within. If it is made from 100% Australian ingredients, then it's got a product of Australia, and still with the kangaroo. Mm. The last one is made in Australia. Now, to qualify to get the Made in Australia logo, you need to have at least 50% of ingredients. So majority of the ingredients must be from Australia. And the good thing is there's a little bar chart that shows the percentage of Australian ingredients that have gone into it. So I think if anything, this protects the Australian manufacturers. And where we have a choice, I think we need to look at saying, we know certain parts of ingredients are coming from Australia and we are better off with the ones that we know.
Well, we are. You're absolutely right, Ishan. But what if some of the product here in Australia wasn't up to standard? How do we know that everything grown in Australia, I'm assuming it is, but what would happen, for example, if something was not put together properly and so there was an outbreak?
Right. So this is at least something that I can speak a little bit more with confidence, having worked in a lot of the food factories in my career. Even to start a little food factory, the smallest operation that you can think of requires what's known as a HACCP certification. So that you need to identify where the ingredients are coming from and the traceability of ingredients and how you're controlling the batches of each of those ingredients within your factory. So those processes need to be put in to even qualify to have a food factory license, if you wish.
Yeah.
And on top of that, that's comforting.
Yeah.
And on top of that, if you're supplying to the major retailers, they're a lot more stringent than that. So like the base level, what they ask for is, to have the food factories that has a certification. On top of that, there could be a BRC audit, or which is the British Retail Consortium, I think. Mm-hmm. There's an SQS. So there are different standards or stringent requirements that the retailers will ask for to make sure that they qualify to apply for those retailers.
Well, that's really what we do need to know. And if these other products coming in from overseas had those stringent controls, then we'd feel a lot more confident. But look, thank you very much indeed for explaining that today. And let's just hope we go that little bit step further because, people are losing their lives.
Absolutely. Good talking to you, Jenny.
You too. Thank you.